So orange tried cacti.
Okay. Okay. This is a good one. Friday. No, it was Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, it was Saturday. Saturday. Saturday, we had a fucking day. Now that I'm thinking about it, we had a fucking day.
We did.
We went to the worst restaurant in the 30-mile zone of Los Angeles County.
Why was it the worst? We enjoyed the food at the beginning of it.
Yeah. And the music made me
want to put
my fucking face into the fucking table and just slam it fucking aggressively, bro. That was the worst music I've ever heard. Every good song he played, he ruined by transitioning it to another bad song.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing.
Wait, there's a DJ at the restaurant or something?
Dude, yeah. It wasn't even a DJ, bro. It was like a fucking, it was like me 14 years ago. Learning how to DJ, bro. Like,
well, that's why he's making his break at a restaurant, bro. Like, he's not doing a club. Like, it's a restaurant.
No, dude. You would.
I DJ better than that fool.
Would find this unacceptable. Well, that's not saying much, bro. You're a good DJ and you have good music selection. You know how to read a room. This guy doesn't even know how to read a book. Okay, he played the worst music ever.
That's we got dragged out there because some girls told us to come, and then they fucking stood us up. It was
they bailed. God damn, they bailed on the right place.
Yeah,
they just set you guys up. They knew
absolutely,
you
fucking hate it. Absolutely, 100%.
It was a personal vendetta.
I'm telling Daniel, it's you guys. I'm telling Daniel, our friend who we went out with, who was talking with the girl, that we're never hanging out with his friends again.
Yeah, Aryan had to clarify. The guy that got stood up wasn't us. It was a specific person amongst us.
Yeah, it wasn't us, bro. We don't get stood up, bro. It was Daniel, bro. It was Daniel.
Anyway, happy Easter, everyone, by the way, if you celebrate it. Yeah, that was pretty much our weekend. And I think we should get into the fucking podcast, honestly, because there's some great fucking topics. So roll that intro song. This is the Hype Geek Podcast. We talk to you about the culture of gaming, man, where fashion, music, sports, all that shit meets. That's Hype Geek within the video game space. So this week, we got a lot of interesting topics. If you're listening to this podcast probably on a Wednesday afternoon or Thursday afternoon, then you missed the live show where we stream this live on twitch.tv/highgroundco at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to a live audience. So you may hear us, you know, reference the chat. You may hear us reference a video clip that we pulled up. And if you want to have that, then make sure you go onto our Twitch and you can watch the video on demand live or whenever it happened and really get a full picture of what we're talking about. If you're listening on the pod,
tune in live for the best experience.
Exactly. But also, go to @HypeGeek on Instagram. You can get the clips. You can get the content. We post dope shit on there. We always keep you guys up to date on Hype Geek culture. That's pretty much
it. And Twitter.
And Twitter. I'm sorry. Yeah. And Twitter. @HypeGeekPod. Go check that out. And TikTok. @HypeGeek on TikTok. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. So
shout out Season. He runs our Instagram and our Twitter. And then shout out Kat for running a TikTok.
All right, we're done.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Super excited to get into this one. Gucci, as in the fashion house, is releasing NFTs. Obviously, we all fucking knew that was eventually going to happen. But why is that important? Why are we talking about that right now? Because they said we're going to do it with fucking video games. If there was a siren that I could fucking shoot out right now on the Hype Geek podcast, if I had a soundboard, I'd be hitting that shit because that's Hype Geek as fuck. And that's exciting as fuck. They told Vogue Business that NFTs are a big part of its gaming strategy. It was like a panel that they did. We listened to it. It's pretty exciting. But that's just not it. You got gaming skins by Louis Vuitton that happened for League of Legends a year and a half ago. So I'm giving you guys some history. As well as Burberry, apparently. And then there's wearables in Decentraland, which is like this metaverse place where you can wear skins. So they're really paying attention to it. Chanel just released their own $12 digital sneaker. Gucci also had released a $12 digital sneaker. There's like fashion houses like The Fabricant, where basically you can buy digital clothes as NFTs, but they also offer a service where you send in a picture of yourself and they'll put the clothes on you. Like they'll Photoshop the clothes on you. So it's like a whole new level of fit pics, bro. Like a whole new level of that shit.
Whole new level.
Yeah. Anyway. We kind of knew that this was going to happen, but it's cool to see that Gucci thinks that the best way to enter the NFT space is actually through video games. I mean, they've done shit with Roblox.
I'll flip that to you because we know a lot of luxury brands are trying to get into gaming. And I think NFTs is a reason for them to get into gaming in a natural way, right? Instead of having to figure out what does our brand look like in a game, NFTs is the exact bridge there, because you could literally put your items in the game in a way that has actual value, rather than just like, because we were seeing Gucci do stuff with Roblox, right? Mm-hmm. They created a whole like collection of like 30 yeah. different items, and now make those NFTs and you got yourself a way more endemic, natural way to enter the space that actually has value monetarily too. So it goes both ways. How do you get into NFTs, heading to gaming? And fashion brands honestly fits at the perfect intersection of those two, in my opinion.
This summer is going to be crazy for Gucci. I have a feeling that this summer, Gucci is going to be doing skins in all sorts of games, doing NFTs. And all. I think Gucci is going to do like a massive splash with digital goods. Just like following their track record. I swear, it used to be like every 6 months we would hear something about Gucci with digital goods. Now it's like, every 2 months, I hear something about Gucci. The last thing we talked about was Pokemon Go and North Face Gucci. Like, it's gonna, dude, they might like, because they've had slow growth apparently in the past year, partially driven by the fact that it's slowing down in China for them, which was a major driving force for them. But they haven't really released a new aesthetic in a long time. And they might just be like, yo, fuck physical. We're just gonna go full tilt digital. So That's interesting.
Is their physical played out to you or something? Because I know like Gucci became like broke fashion brand, like, what are your thoughts on Gucci for you connoisseurs? Because I don't fucking know.
I throw that to Aryan.
You're roasting the Gucci belt the other day. So
I mean, here's the thing. Gucci is kind of like a brand where it's like an entry level into fashion, right? Gucci, Louis Vuitton, these brands aren't known for design, right?
That was such a very, very bold take, everything you just said. All right, continue. Yeah.
They're not known for design. They're money machines, bro. That's as simple as it is. They don't care about progressing design, like fashion designers like Raf Simons, who now works at a money machine like Prada. Yeah, that's essentially like my quick take on it. It's just that.
So when these come out,
this is like a perfect opportunity for them.
When Gucci,
NFTs. Like they did the Gucci Ghost drop like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
they're doing like a real. Just Gucci mainline drop coming soon. They did the Roblox thing. They're pumping out for the next generation.
So when Gucci releases their skin for insert AAA video game title that we play, would you rock it?
I mean, it's tough to ask me because I'm not a whale like you who just buys anything in video games.
I bet that you spent more money in Call of Duty than I have on Rocket League.
Next week, we're going to settle this bet because I don't think so.
Okay.
But
we'll figure it out on the podcast.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah. We're going to settle this bet. This is actually a good conversation.
Cool. Yeah.
But I disagree.
And also, Cad Fortnite. He's a whale there, too. Anyway,
there we go. Yeah, okay. So we all have our game, right?
Yeah.
I forgot where I
would you buy it or not? Sounds like a no, but I would do it for the culture. Okay. All right.
No.
All right. Well, listen, last week you roasted some guy for wearing a Gucci belt. That kind of brings me to my next topic, which is we do this thing. It's called the Hype Geek Fit Check. We basically take your guys' favorite streamers, gaming celebrities, and do a review of their outfit, see where things are going right, see where things are going wrong. We try and help all our fellow Hype Geeks take it to the next level in terms of their fashion. And this week, we have JHB Team from 100 Thieves.
I just want to say this is the hardest fit of all time.
I fucking love it.
Okay.
Like, first of all,
wait, I'm confused. What?
First of all, shut up. The man's looking like a snack on a picnic table. Okay. Like, how fucking
delicious.
The only thing I would take off is his pants so I can get in them.
You oh my God. This took a turn, bro.
Turn. So let's talk to the viewers at home.
Okay. About what he's wearing. Tell us. Yeah.
Let's be serious. So, first of all, he's got the beautiful. We're going top down like a top.
Wait, wait. First off, for those who don't know, 100 Thieves JHB Team is like the 100 Thieves. They call him an intern, but at this point, he's pretty much an influencer and content creator for them, because he even has his own like segment for 100 Thieves called TBH with JHB Team. I don't know where the fuck he came from. I think his history was he had some like COD team that was called JHB Team. He had his own name, but then they all left and he just took the JHB Team name or some shit like that. He's a very awkward guy. Just look him up on Twitter and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But he's blowing up right now. And I have mad respect.
He's got awkward wife.
He posted a Fitbit.
So you'll see the Fitbit we're talking about. But I'm going top down like a narc. He's got a comb over haircut, like freshly cut, freshly short, combed over to the side part, on the top, he's wearing a variant of blue plaid picnic shirt. I just want to say, shout out to Chet Hanks, but he's breaking the number one rule of White Boy Summer, and that's no plaid.
No plaid.
No plaid. So, breaking the rule there, and then he's just got like basic black chinos.
Black
like
belt.
Black belt and a black shoes. There's literally nothing going on in this fit.
Okay.
Except him looking like a picnic.
All right. So I'm just going to get right into it. I give this like a 1 out of 10 because like didn't even try. At least our other contestants tried to be doing something. But here it was just like I had clothes in my closet that my mom bought for me. And then I just put them on and walked outside. Now, granted, the point of the show is to add value. And so I'm just saying, like, whenever he's got like a slender frame, he's got like pasty white boy, awkward white boy swag. And whenever I think of like that person, what is the aesthetic that matches that person? And I think that JHB team would look great in a full on male Saint Laurent fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can get that Timothée Chalamet swag. You feel me?
Yo, rockstar skinnies. Chalamet swag.
Right? Some rockstar skinnies, some Chelsea boots, right? And then we put on like a fucking leather jacket and then a shirt with a deep fucking like neckline. And then on it, it's got like cigarettes after sex or something stupid on the front of it because it's like thin and lightweight. So just imagine like that aesthetic on JHB team with a skinny, slender frame. He's got like rock star model chic right there that he's just not even using, that he could totally be using. That could definitely work there, in my opinion. I think that also another aesthetic that could work for him, which I don't think I'm going to have an easy time finding this, is like white dude in Silver Lake. So like I typed in Silver Lake looking dude on Google, guys. It's not really pulling up. But basically,
why don't you just pull up Strass's last picture.
Okay. No, that's not what I'm looking for. That's Californication. What I'm talking about is like, you know, the chinos are rolled up slightly. He's got a beanie on. He's holding a coffee in his hand.
And he's wearing a vintage like jacket.
Yeah. What would I Google for that?
Hipster.
Hipster indie dude on Google.
Hipster Silver Lake.
Right hipster there. Silver Lake. Okay, anyway.
Wait. No, this is good.
Yeah, this is good. I feel like
that one over to where your mouse is.
This one right here?
That one. Yeah.
I could see JHB team.
So let's talk about the fit for the viewers. Let's talk about the viewers.
Yeah, this could be a JHB fit.
This guy's got a flat brim hat, long flowy hair. He's wearing a plaid shirt, but this is more of like a like an oversized kind of vintage,
it's
old
like James
school
Purse
looking.
Kinda.
This is not like a what he's wearing plaid shirt where you just got it from Target. This is the one where you get it from like Crossroads, right? And then he's got a long sleeve underneath it, a crystal necklace because, you know, he needs the good chakras, black skinny jeans rolled up, and then, like, what is that, suede?
Yeah, now suede that we're chakras. Talking about this, we could take him the, like, LA club promoter side of things, like, goes to, like, Burning Man, goes to, like, ayahuasca retreats, and has, like, fucking the deepest V James Purse shirt that, like, that goes down to his knees, like, and just like that flat brim hat, we grow out JHB's hair, and suddenly he's just like club promoter swag.
There we go.
I would love.
And
to
we also just need
shopping.
To tell him how to take a fit pic. So you know, this guy, his arms are relaxed, are up front. He's against the concrete background and the concrete floor, so it's like monotone color.
Whereas JHB
on the other hand, he took a night photo, already a problem.
Yes.
He's got this weird background. It's like a sidewalk on the street. There's like a bunch of shit going on, a bunch of trees, terrible light in the back, street light in the back, like kind of flaring the photo.
Yep.
And then he's just standing there with his arms behind his back like he's a club promoter or something like that.
Wait, I actually know where this is. I just realized I might know where this is. Bro.
It's in downtown?
No. So he tagged the location, West Hollywood, California. And you see that ring light that goes across in that giant white wall? Behind him?
Yeah.
I think that's right next to Delilah.
Did
JHB team go to Delilah like that? About to have a panic attack, bro. Uh-oh. I don't know, bro. The JHB team going to Delilah is like next level, dude. Maybe
imagine,
this is
like,
this
just the persona he has like on the internet. Like he just acts like nerdy and awkward, but in real life he's like, just a fucking baller.
Yeah.
Yeah, total he's a douche.
Speaking of like that white boy fits, and Gucci. Just type in what's his name? Harry Styles Gucci outfit.
Oh, this could. Oh, so this is your mention for like this what you should wear.
My, okay. Like, this is a completely outlandish.
Harry Styles.
Completely outlandish.
Like this? This one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like this.
Explain it.
He's got another one where it's a little more androgynous, where he's wearing like women's pants and stuff. It's really
this
out
could
there.
Really slap.
And I think
explain
he can pull
it though.
It off.
Explain it.
I think he could pull it off. Yeah,
Are you saying JHB team could pull this off?
You guys haven't even mentioned what it is. Explain what it
okay,
is.
Okay. So he's wearing a pinstripe Gucci suit. It's gray with white stripes, thin stripes, three-piece suit. So he's got a vest on. He's got a white shirt underneath and a navy tie. Green socks and green Gucci sneakers with a green Gucci blanket over him and a cute little dog.
Nah, I think JHBT with a suit would just look, no. I don't think he'd be able to rock a suit casually like that.
I think he'd be able to do it. I think he'd be able to do it.
Okay.
I don't know,
he just has to do his hair better. He's got to grow it out a little longer, style it like Harry has it in this photo.
All right. So I gave it a 1 out of 10. What do you give it, Aryan?
So we're considering the pose, the background, everything. I will also give it a 1 out of 10. If that.
The voice.
I'm pretty sure I wore this outfit to my 8th grade graduation.
Me too.
That's fine.
The thing is that, here's the thing. I actually would give this a 6.5 out of 10, but hear me out for a second. Do you know why?
Why?
Because we kind of roasted Classify on the last one because he was wearing something that didn't fit him. He was going for fashion, not style. Whereas for JHB team, I genuinely think that he knows what looks good. He doesn't want to stretch the boundaries too far. He's staying within his limits. He knows that this is a safe choice. It's, you know,
it's
it
him.
Fits him well. The pants look good, right? They fit him from like the bottom down. The shirt, no, you know, could do some work, maybe a better color, but he knows what works for him. And I think that he's like, you know, advancing from, I'm assuming, just sweats and pants or sweats and like t-shirt. So like, you know, he's upgrading, he's getting there. And I respect the fact that he knows where his boundaries are. And for that reason, I'll give him a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
No, see, I disagree because he's posting a fit pic. If you're posting a fit pic, you have to step it up.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Have to be what
you are inviting critique.
In.
Dude, maybe this is stepping it up for him, bro. Like, have you seen his other pictures? Way more awkward, way more weird. I think he cleaned up here. 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
No debate.
So
move on.
This is an open call to JHB team. I'm looking at the camera. I'm talking to you right now from @HypeGeekPodcast over here. Listen, we have a scale here of how you can improve this outfit. The most minimal thing you can do is to just change the shirt to something a little bit better than that plaid thing you got going on there. Or next level, we go to Saint Laurent or Rodale and we fit you out like a rock star skinny type vibe or the Gucci Harry Styles aesthetic. Either way, we're upgrading you. Because you got a 1 out of 10 from me, a 1 out of 10 from Aryan, and a 6.5 out of 10 from Kat with some, you know, pretty interesting perspectives. Regardless, it can be better. Because our goal is to get all our hype geeks on fit checks to a 10 out of 10. Speaking of 100 Thieves, recently, they are announcing new clothes. It's called the Enter Infinity Collection. And it's pretty cool. They got like a yellow hoodie, a black t-shirt, a blue sweater, a water bottle, which I thought was actually cool, amongst a couple other things. But the aesthetic, I'm trying to think about how I could explain the aesthetic here.
I've seen this design before.
Yeah, me too.
I think it might be Off-White.
No, no, you know what it is? It's David Rudnick. This aesthetic is like David Rudnick for sure. He's like a...
It does look very familiar to me, this type of like...
He's
the font is almost like 8-bit-ish. It's kind of like has jagged edges to it.
Yeah,
for David Rudnick, the guy who assisted on the acronym HP collab.
He made the acronym ROG laptop.
Oh,
but
ROG, not HP.
Yeah, amongst other things, he is like a designer whose aesthetic is extremely similar to the 100 Thieves Enter Infinity collection. So I'm sure that David Rudnick was a reference for them, and I'm doing a terrible job of finding his designs right now. But yeah, so the 100 Thieves collection... And it looks kind of like this stuff that we have pulled up here. This is like David Rudnick. This is 100 Thieves. It's kind of like cyberpunk Blade Runner-y vibes with 8-bit. There's a reason for that, I think. The collection is cool. The collection is titled Enter Infinity. Presenting the Enter Infinity collection. The first chapter in the 100 Thieves world of endless possibilities. what is this first chapter of, right? This is their like fifth apparel drop. So it's not the first chapter of their apparel drop. In the beginning, they show a model putting her hand through what looks like 8-bit grid of lights that she's doing right now. And it's kind of like Tron looking. So look, there's something about a metaverse, aka NFTs. I think that they're going to be releasing some sort of NFT potentially. And at the time of this podcast, they had tweeted uploading gateway 001 through 008. And it's a GIF of 100 Thieves logo, whatever. Apparently, it's going to drop today. I have no idea. People in
today
the comments.
Being,
I'm
April
sorry.
6th,
yes.
Tuesday is when we're recording the podcast.
So
yeah.
If it's an NFT, then you heard it here first.
Even people are saying, it's funny, one of the comments is like, 100 Thieves NFT question mark, and someone comments, who's NFT, as if they're signing a guy named NFT.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
So funny. But anyway, this GIF, this video or slash GIF where they posted, it's blurred out on purpose because they're trying to like not reveal it yet. You can kind of see the 100 Thieves logo in the background with some sort of like blue and yellowish like twist art style to it.
Looks like a weather report.
I'm assuming uploading gateway 1 through 8 means there could potentially only be 8.
Correct.
Units, maybe doing it extremely limited.
Oh, 8 designs probably.
Well, eight designs. Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people can already anticipate NFT, but I'm excited to see what they plan to do this in terms of it being tied to the collection, right? I'm sure they're trying to think of it as creatively as possible.
Right.
Maybe that it's some sort of integration with the game possibly. I don't know. It could be massive or it could just be as simple as let's hop on this NFT train. But I think it's supposed to come out. Today's Tuesday. They said tomorrow, yesterday on Monday. So I don't know what time it is yet.
Yeah.
We'll probably get some updates. Let me actually just check their Twitter, see if they post anything.
Cool. While you're doing that. So
nothing yet. Yeah, nothing yet.
If it's an NFT, are you guys buying?
No.
And let me tell you why. Because speaking of NFT collaborations and drops and stuff, mm-hmm. The Weeknd dropped his NFT collection over the weekend. No pun intended.
I see what you did there.
I didn't actually mean to do that as soon as I was saying it. And so yeah, he had like 2 in auction and 3 on open edition. On Nifty Gateway, thank you. And they were cool. And one of the auction ones was actually like a throwaway song from the My Dear Melancholy era.
Like a song he never released?
Yes, correct. An unreleased song that was, it sounds like it would fit on MDM. It also sounds like it would fit on After Hours, his most recent album. And it's beautiful, but I'm also biased. And it didn't sell well on the secondary market. The 3 open editions, Artifact 1, which funny that 100 Thieves also names them Artifact 001 through.
Did they call them Artifact? No, Gateway.
But the numbering was similar. Sorry, my mistake.
All good.
First one was 333. Second one was 777. Third one is 1,111. I bet you girls that are into like astrology and numbers were freaking out over that.
Wait, why? While you're doing that, I'm going to do the math of what his sales were like.
Because like numerology is like a cute little thing. I don't know. There's things
Arian
behind it.
And on Hinge with some...
some girls asking what your favorite number is. 3? Nope, not for me. Move on.
4. No comment. And it didn't sell well on the secondary aftermarket. It's like, and I'm seeing this trend, and Rustin, you can back me up on this, happening on most drops, especially on Nifty, but mm-hmm. on most drops in the NFT space, is that since like the mainstream people started getting into it, it's not been selling on the secondary market as well as it could have been.
Yeah, absolutely. So the original listing was for $333 for the cheapest NFT that The Weeknd released. The highest bid right now, basically, what's the highest amount a buyer would pay for it if you wanted to sell it right now, is $250. So that's $63.
And the last sold is $400, which is only $77 more than retail.
Yeah.
But the highest bid is $250, which is... Well, over this is about $100 less.
Yeah, so the Weeknd's drop in total he sold $1.4 million worth of NFTs across these 3 products in the primary
not
market.
Including
yeah, that's great for him, but for people collecting his shit, listen, slowly but surely, like right before this craze happened, me and Arian bought a pair of Genies drops on Nifty Gateway. And that was probably the last time that you could have bought an NFT on Nifty Gateway and resold it for a good amount of money. But the rest of the stuff that's been releasing, there's way more art than there are buyers. And yeah. the things that tank are the projects that don't have like a history in the NFT space or don't have a plan for the future of their existence in the NFT space.
NFT is in a surplus. There's more supply than there is demand.
Well, that's like all art, but that's fine. But really, the issue is that The Weeknd will come do this one drop, get 1.4 mil, and then do nothing ever again. And that's why these sales tank. So right. for 100 Thieves, you're saying no, I'm guessing, because you're probably like, look, I see all this stuff not reselling, and like 100 Thieves maybe will only do this one NFT drop and not pursue it anymore. So you're saying no, right?
But it is more on brand with 100 Thieves than it is with random artists and like The Weeknd.
That's why I'm buying, honestly. I would buy it because they said it's the first chapter. They're going to continue doing it more. That's good. But listen, in my experience, guys, Logan Paul, I bought his first NFT because I was like, it's his first NFT. It's going to do well. He says he's going to do more in the space. Every NFT he released after that provided way more utility. It was like better, and it was better art and everything. So I got fucked on the first one. So that's also something to consider when you buy a project. Mm-hmm. Basically, if you're trying to buy an NFT, don't consider this financial advice, but like I have a little NFT fund called At Metaplug. And the way that I think about things is it historical, right? Like, is this technology that they use for this drop historical? Is this the first time that, you know, yada, 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 does the crypto community care about it, right? And that's how you should be thinking about it. The Weeknd, you could have, but The Weeknd is not going to have a future in NFTs. He just dropped his shit. So, yeah. Anyway, that's my rant. Cal, what did you think about the 100 Thieves NFT? You said no, right?
Yeah, I said no. Well, first off, because I've never purchased an NFT. I know you guys have.
Okay.
So it's something I'd be a little more cautious of. And just, it was more an assumption on the price, given that it's $1 to $8, but or 1 to 8 unit or different editions. And then actually, I kind of take that back because I know their audience is probably younger people who might just now be exposed to NFTs that might not be that massive. But yeah, I think I agree with you in terms of it being the first chapter. I probably wouldn't buy into the first one, waiting to see how they develop it. If it were some integration in a game where there's like a better utility there, which I feel like they'd be the best people to do that.
Exactly.
Now, I'd probably go in to like buy my first NFT that I could actually use in like an actual game, because I understand the value of it, but me personally am not one to just collect it in a wallet. That doesn't seem as appealing to me. But you gotta be cautious, like what Arian said. I think everything Arian brought up were like very big points of like, this shit could get saturated super easily. And if you're just gonna do it for a quick money grab, like what The Weeknd did, and people see no value in the future, then that's all, because NFTs are, it's an investment, right, into the future, and it hopefully appreciates and you can actually use it. Mm-hmm. But if people view it as just like a transactional thing, one time, let me just get the fuck out of here after I make a quick 1.4 mil, then that's going to easily die. So
yeah,
100 Thieves first chapter could be great.
And that quick money grab goes both ways too. Like, it's like just like sneaker reselling back in the day. If you're just buying to resell it, it's not going to provide that much value. You're not going to get that much value from it either as a buyer, you know, as the consumer. So it goes both ways, that term.
Cool. So speaking of assets in video games that have good value, recently a copy of Super Mario Brothers for the NES, WADA graded 9.4. So WADA is like essentially like a grading system for grading old video game boxes. Sold for $660,000 for 9.4 edition out of 10. That's fucking wild. That's massive.
It's like a PSA
Exactly. It's a PSA for video game grading. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the most expensive video game ever sold at auction.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking.
It's pretty fucking hype.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. Like, look at that. Look
it's
at that
really cool.
Old art. Like, that shit is sick. And me and Rustin, we go way back. Like, I think last year when TCG was blowing up, we were like also getting into just like video game, like unsealed, unopened video game boxes as well. I think Mizkif did a video about 4 months ago where he's just like going through his collection, and he had fucking the sickest games like Super Mario 3, like fucking Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, and we were like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, he'd buy it for like $1,000 and the value of it after grade would be like $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, dude. No, I like, we went on a spree, dude. Like, we found a bunch of copies of Halo that we wanted to buy for like $400 and it was like valued at this. Now that this happened, the market's going to shoot up, which sucks. But like, that's the next thing. We were like, fuck Pokemon cards. We want to buy the games that we grew up playing in perfect condition, especially in those acrylic cases that they make them in. You just clack them together. And they sound like the poker chips in that one scene in Casino Royale, James Bond, who's like, he's just $25 million. And it's like five chips that clack together. Anyway, that shit is hype. But I wanted to point out one thing, like, okay, maybe you can't buy one of these for, you know, $666,000 or whatever, but there's this service where you can buy like fractional shares of like sneakers. It's called With Otis, the stock market for culture. They recently announced that you can buy this, actually this exact game, the Mario one, I think. No, I'm sorry. They announced that you can buy Super Mario Land Yellow screenshots. So basically it's like a rare edition of Super Mario Land for the Game Boy, because it had like a yellow background, and it's a 9.4 grade. It opens on Wednesday, April 7th. So if you're listening to this, at you might have missed it, but there's a $50 cap. You can buy shares of this game, because if you think it'll go up, it'll go up. But I wanted to point out something even cooler, is that Halo Combat Evolved is on sale right now. You can buy shares in the first edition of Halo.
9.8.
A 9.8 grade.
Oh, that's crazy. So you don't actually own the game, you own a part of the game, like a share.
Yeah, pretty much like the stock market.
Let's go through this. Let's go through the Halo process really quickly. I want to see what this looks like. If I wanted to buy a share in this graded copy of Halo.
But what's the point? Who gets the actual game? Like, if you buy a majority stake in the entire thing?
It's live right now. You're buying shares like in a company.
Yeah, just think of it like a share. It even says IPO share price, $10. Yeah,
you can buy for $10, you can buy a share in the Halo. And as it continues to grow, you can sell it to your shares to other people who want to invest in it. Like, if they think the value of it's going to go up. I'm sure that the value of a bunch of these things went up on eBay because of that Super Mario Bros. 660 sale. But really, it's not. I wouldn't think of it as an investment. I would not be buying into Halo as an investment. But if I don't have enough money to buy this copy specifically, then I'm just going to do this and say, yeah, I own this thing.
I don't like that, man. I don't like how everyone's turning everything into a market.
It is fun.
You know, it makes the thing less valuable because it's just seen as a money grab. Like, if I want to make a quick $10, I'll put $10 in. Hopefully it doubles, then I'll make $10. It's just like, you know, this Super Mario thing selling for $660,000. It's way cooler because now you own this thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I can't see myself justifying ever purchasing something expensive. Because when I look at this, honestly, weird thought, like looking at the Super Mario Bros. Thing in this nice case, the only way I'd buy it is if one day I knew I was going to fucking crack it open and just destroy it and just play it. You know, like end of the world, last hour of my life, meteor crashing into the earth. I would literally crack that open, put it in, and just play it. And I think that would serve its $660,000 purpose.
I'm sorry.
But I wouldn't buy it for any other reason.
I need to interrupt you right here. So that Halo copy that we're talking about was a 9.8 grade. On eBay, there's a 9.6 grade going for $4,000. Now, Kat, do you own like any Pokemon cards that are graded?
No.
Okay. Until you own one of those, you can't say any fucking thing. Once you own one of those, then you will know what it feels like that... You won't want to pop it open and rip it. It's like art, dude.
But $660,000.
No, I know. That's a lot. But what I'm saying is like, you own this piece of art. You can hang it in your room. It represents your... To me, it's like, this represents my identity, this Halo thing. Like, this was a part of my life. And now I can own it in its exact condition that I would have experienced it as a kid. And it's an art piece hanging on my wall. That's what it means to me.
Wouldn't you rather, Rustin... have collectible pieces rather than just wearing Xbox t-shirts? As he's literally wearing an Xbox t-shirt too, right?
Or I view it as like fine wine, right? It's, you save it because the longer you preserve it, the more it appreciates. But one day, for that one occasion, you're gonna crack that shit open. Obviously, the more expensive
do you collect
4,000. No, I don't collect any.
Okay, well, that answers that.
So yeah. That's the thing.
No. There's a difference. There is a difference.
There's a difference.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because Rustin's dad is a fine wine collector. And that, yes, that has the purpose. He'll buy a wine on the birth year for Rustin to crack it at his 21st birthday because that has like symbolic meaning behind that because it's fucking wine.
Bro. My dad is in your lane, Kat. He doesn't like collect them because of the dollar value. He collects them to experience them because there's a reason that they have that value usually. It's because they taste good. But the difference here is that wine that is priced at a certain price point and age tastes better than other wines. But you could play the exact Super Mario Brothers or Halo game any other way. You can do that.
You can get a used copy. You can get a modded copy.
There's something about opening the acrylic case, peeling the plastic, opening it up, putting it into the console, and playing that game is a different experience. You have to admit that.
You're pissing me off, bro. That's so sacrilegious of you to say.
No. See, what I'm saying is the reason why I don't collect things is because of that scenario you're saying, right? I can't justify myself just keeping it without using it. But if it were something like this and say I was a fucking multi-billionaire, if I were to buy something like this, I would eventually find a time to use it before my life ended. I don't think I would keep it for historic museum purposes where it would just be passed on unless, like, you know, I wanted to give it to like my fucking family members. Like,
Kaz, the Martin Shkreli of collectibles. But
I would just want to eventually use it. That's just how I view it. Then I would get my money's worth of, like, the longer I keep holding onto this, the more satisfying it would be to fucking crack that shit open, put it into the console and play that shit.
Sure. Okay. On my deathbed, I'll do that. But until then, I'm collecting this shit.
Yeah, 100%. $660,000. I'm not keeping it for a year and then using it. Like I told you, meteor coming down to the fucking earth. I have 1 hour left. Then I'll crack that shit open and play it. Like that. That's a scenario. Okay. That makes sense to me.
That's fine. All right. I thought you were saying
that's a gray hill to die on. That's a gray hill.
All right. Because you were pissing me off for a second. I was like, you need to collect this shit before you can even say some sacrilegious shit like that, bro. It's absurd. You're stressing me out. You know what else stressed me out? Apparently, people are getting robbed for Pokemon cards. That scares the shit out of me. Some dude in Japan fucking scaled the side of a building in Tokyo. A trading card shop fucking broke in the window like Mission Impossible type shit and tried to steal a bunch of Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, bro. Like, insane, dude. He's 28 years old, so he's like, you know, a couple years older.
No, he didn't try to. He successfully stole it.
He's stolen around.
He got caught, though.
Yeah, he stole. Yeah. Okay, here. Reports that Ikebukuro Police Station are currently investigating Kensuke Nakanishi, a Tokyo Toshima Ward resident, for breaking and entering into a trading card store to steal 80 cards from Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh. He's expected to have stolen around $9,120 worth of trading cards and approximately $2,370 in cash. He admitted that he was in a predicament and needed that money to pay off a debt. So he decided to steal Pokemon cards, which is so crazy to me because actually that's kind of genius.
Bro, it's genius, bro.
Like, you're not going to rob a bank. You go rob someone of their Pokemon cards. Hang on. I was in the rock climbing club in high school, so I wasn't afraid of heights. This guy was a born thief. That's absurd.
Like I was saying, the modern day Italian job is called the Tokyo job, and it's stealing Pokemon cards.
That's fucking awesome, bro.
Yo, fuck gold bars, bro. We going for that motherfucking Charizard Rainbow Rare VMAX.
Yeah, dude. That's the next generation of shit you steal. It's like, he said, attached a rope to the railing of the roof, propelled down to the sixth floor. He was able to break the store's window with a tool to gain entry. They spotted him on a security camera, and that's how they got him.
Dude, this is literally Mission Impossible.
Someone needs to make a movie out of this, because this is fucking awesome, bro.
This is literally Mission Impossible. I'm directing this movie.
Yeah, Hype Geek is going to produce the movie. Arian's directing it. This is so sick. It's called The Tokyo Job. Wow.
The Tokyo Job.
That's fucking crazy. I never thought I would have seen the day of that.
It makes perfect sense.
I for sure would have been able to predict something like this.
Yeah,
if it's not already happened. Remember just a month ago, McDonald's managers were scalping the cards sent to them for the Happy Meals sell them on eBay, bro.
I just thought it was really genius that, like, it's impossible to rob a bank, but now you can go rob fucking trading cards.
Oh, by the way, my cousin got one of the McDonald's packs for an Easter gift, and she pulled a motherfucking shiny Cyndaquil.
Wow, what's the value?
Sick. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Okay. It's just a cool card.
All right. Now we're going to wrap up the pod with a new segment that we're testing out here. Basically, Hype Geek Watch. It's brands to watch, products to watch. There's this page at Don't Wash Me, DONTWASH me. And it's basically like video game t-shirts and like hoodies. And they're really cool. Like they have like one shirt that looks like, I mean, look, they're not amazing, right? But it's cool to see that someone is doing something like this. You just completely nuked the aspect of this segment, so fuck you. But there was a shirt.
I gotta have my opinion.
Okay, yeah, you're allowed to have your opinion, but fuck you. This shirt, It's like designed in the I Heart New York way, but it's I, and then it has the Majora like mask looking heart. I Majora mask. What else did they have? They have a Lizzie McGuire Game Boy Advance game that's like laminated onto a hoodie. I wouldn't buy that. But then they got like Mario Kart Double Dash cover art laminate. Okay, so actually this hoodie's kind of shit, but I like the
lamination job is just poor, but the concept itself is
thank you, Kat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like laminating Halo.
The lamination is just ass, honestly.
Yeah. But he's trying, dude. He's trying. I liked it, so.
And you know why his at is don't wash me? Because his fucking printing is so shitty. When you wash it, it gets ruined. I hate this brand.
Okay. All right.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, okay. So High Peak Watch became a high peak debate, but
okay.
We'll get better at this. This is our first segment, guys. Don't worry. We'll try to agree on one before we come back to you guys.
I didn't see this before.
It's on the fucking show run notes, bro. Yo,
chat.
No,
chat
I know, saved, but it was at the bottom. I didn't get to it
10.
Before.
4 out of 10.
Yeah,
all right.
He put
R.L. Stein's fucking goosebumps on a sweater. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Fuck me then. I revoke my Hype Geek card. God damn it. Well, I try
anyways, guys.
Yo,
we're just talking about the concept.
There's one thing I would buy. 100%. Scroll down a little bit. The tote bag in the middle with all the Pokemon types, right?
Oh, there. That is actually cool.
That's fucking hard.
Yeah.
That's fucking hard.
It's normal type, bug type. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, he fucked
that doesn't
it
look
this.
Like it was
Wait,
Mario
why
stars.
Did he put the Mario star? Is this two different tote bags or is it the same tote bag? If it's two different ones, I'll buy the Pokemon one. But he put the Mario stars on the back of it.
Let's go to his website. If his website's
that looks
ass,
Photoshop, too. Jesus. That doesn't look like it's actually on.
Oh, man.
The stitching is very poor.
Oh, his website. Yeah. Actually, no, it's its own
tote bag, but still
high quality thread garment.
Gee, the reason why it looks like that though is because that's Photoshop. It's not actually stitched on yet. So when he actually stitches it on, it looks like ass.
Well, if he stitches it direct on, it garment. Might be screen print.
He's doing direct garment, so it's a screen print. So it's not gonna be good. All right, well, listen, I fucked up. I'm sorry, guys. I tried to bring something new to the table, turned out to be ass. But good idea, bad execution on my
Correct.
Front. Anyway, that's it from us over here at the Hype Geek Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. Leave us 5 stars. If you have any opinions on the topics, DM us on @HypeGeek. We always respond. And yeah, that's pretty much it from me, Ariane, and Kat. We'll be back next week. I got nothing else to say.
Deuces.
Peace.
Thank you, guys. Peace.